producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
A lot of people still counting votes in New Hampshire. There's actually talk of a recount. The challenger, Scott Brown, the Republican for that Senate seat, not given up. People say Jeanine Shaheen is up by fewer than 1,000 points, but the Republicans do it overall. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. They pick up the needed 7 seats, 52 seats in the Senate right now, and you still have a couple of states in play, Alaska and Virginia. We'll see what happens there. So a defeat for lots of Democrats as the chambers will switch. That's it for Harry Reid as the majority leader of the Senate. It's a new day in Washington, and you have a Democratic president who's going to have to work with these Republicans, and I've talked about this before. It's happened in our history, certainly, most recently with Bill Clinton having to deal with Republicans across the board in both chambers having the majority. William McDonald is with us now. He's at the White House. Hey, William, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
So what's it been like at the White House? What has the mood been like?
Let me put it this way. The president has had a very non-public schedule today. He's had a meeting with an IMF director, the Secretary of Defense, and then his response team on Ebola. About 2 hours ago, it was released by the press office. They informed us that the president has invited the current congressional leaders on both sides of the aisle and in both chambers to the White House for a meeting on Friday.
Aha! So he's gearing up.
We don't know what time that is, but they're expected sometime Friday.
Yeah. What was the murmurs among the reporters? Because, you know, with everybody at the White House and then, of course, spread around the country, and you're there with TRN and their coverage, there had to be some back and forth about that.
Yeah, for the most part, everybody kind of had it in their soul that the Republicans were going to get at least one or two, maybe three seats and control of the Senate. You could feel it in the air and the way everybody talked about it. The polling that we saw, some of the really big states like Colorado, Iowa, North Carolina, they really were a topic of discussion, and they came out to be exactly what we thought they would be. They went Republican.
Yeah.
So you had mentioned before Virginia State, NBC. I'm not sure who else. Let's see. I think maybe CNN has also declared incumbent Senator Warner the winner for
the
Virginia.
Winner. All right, so there you go.
Let's see how many. They're just about 20,000 votes apart. So Gillespie would be a fool to concede at this point.
Yeah, so we may see that just drag out a little bit longer, I think.
Yeah,
most likely.
But I do think that at the maybe within a week or how long it's going to take, it will go blue. We'll have the Virginia will have a Democratic senator.
Yeah. All right. So interesting. As I said, the tally 52 officially, Senate-wise for control. 51 is what the Republicans needed for control. So they got 52. So they've already got that, and now it's just a question of more of the numbers filtering through, and that's it. Like you said, we think that'll go blue probably in Virginia. Who knows what's going to happen? It's still very early going in Alaska, and there's still a couple of other things happening, so it's been pretty interesting. And, pot was on the ballot in a couple of different states in a couple of different ways. For example, in Florida, medical marijuana was rejected. How about that in the Sunshine State?
Yeah, I was kind of surprised by that, actually. I mean, it wasn't, you know, how Colorado or Washington, where it was free-for-all. I mean, it was a medically-based, medicinal used, I don't know. But, yeah, it didn't pass. It did by about 15 percentage points, even.
Yeah, pretty
so
interesting.
You know, that's too bad for people who really, you know, need that kind of medical care.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding. However, Oregon voters approved ballot measure 91, they called it, and it would legalize recreational marijuana use. So that's happened there. And there were, then there were three other states that were dealing with similar things. William McDonald, thank you so much from the White House. The big news that you gave us, the big nugget, of course, at the beginning, Friday, congressional leaders will meet with President Obama. It's a new day in Washington. Thanks, William.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, so as we said, or as I just mentioned, Oregon says yes to pot, but Florida says no. And Alaska, another state considering legalizing marijuana. This is way too early to know that. Alaska was also considering raising minimum wage to $9.75 an hour in 2016. In Arkansas, they talked about raising the minimum wage to $8.50 in 2017. That passed. In Colorado, they had an interesting thing that they were voting on, the definition of personhood, meaning, you know, this has to do with abortion. The measure would amend the state constitution to include unborn babies in the definition of person and child under the Colorado Criminal Code, and it would include, get this, the unborn in the Colorado Wrongful Death Act. Where did that go? Right now, with 82% in, there's no way, it's a done deal. No, the voters resoundingly said no to that. Just like I mentioned in Florida, no to medical marijuana. You know, crazy, because the initiative would have legalized the use of medical marijuana, which would be regulated by the Florida Department of Health. But, you know, there you go. That's the deal. They said no to that. And then there were a whole bunch of other ballot measures. In fact, all in all, 150 different things were voted on, depending on the state. Marijuana, abortion issues came up heavily. In some cases, funding road work. That was one of the big things in Texas, and that passed to finish projects, state highway projects that weren't finished. And speaking of Texas, Wendy Davis, who had a lot of star power nationally running for governor against Greg Abbott, lost. Greg Abbott, early going in the evening, was declared the winner because, as you know, for 14 years, Rick Perry has been the Republican governor of the state of Texas. Now that mantle gets tossed over to Greg Abbott, and she created a lot of stir nationally. And in Texas, there was conversation about Wendy Davis, but truly she never had in the polls any kind of a great big edge on Greg Abbott. So inevitably he ran away with this, although she did get 41% of the vote, which says something in a state like Texas. All right, we have a long way to go, much more to come. We're going to check in with a few other people along the way in this hour of America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. cases. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Jolene, 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 I'm begging of you, please don't take my man. Jolene, 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 please don't take him just because you can. Your beauty is beyond compare, with flaming locks of auburn hair, with ivory skin, eyes of emerald green.
When President Obama shut down drilling, you all know this story, killing millions of jobs. I stood up to the president, put a hold on one of his top appointments until we could get some relief. I promise you I will continue to fight for drilling and for oil and gas jobs and for the energy we need to move this country forward.
All right, election night, and as predicted, I've talked about this, and I don't think it was a big secret. It looked like it would end up a runoff in Louisiana, and sure enough it is. Democratic Senator Mary Landrieu fighting for her seat. December 6th runoff against Republican Representative Bill Cassidy, because it was just that close. In fact, Cassidy had 44% of the vote the last check I had, and Landrieu 41, so that's what's going to happen. We're going to toss that to December 6th. Senate-wise, the Republicans have the majority. They needed 51. They have 52. Justin Duckham is following what's going on very, very closely, especially in the state of Kentucky, where earlier Mitch McConnell was able to declare victory and now will have his sixth term, plus he will be the Senate majority leader. And that's it for Harry Reid, because the Dems, again, lose the majority. Hey, Justin, how are you?
Hey, doing pretty well. Yeah, exactly as you mentioned, this was a big night for Republicans. It's a great night for Mitch McConnell. This is something that he has really been sort of itching for quite some time. And, you know, we have all known that this is something that he's been sort of gunning for the majority of his career. You know, he's somebody who's known for being particularly shrewd when it comes to politics, and you know, sort of putting himself in this position is sort of expected of him. So we, as you mentioned, also have seen some pretty interesting upsets in North Carolina as well as Iowa, both of those being called for the Republicans, despite the fact that in particular with North Carolina, it looks like it's a pretty close race between Tillis and Hagan. But yeah, nevertheless, we're you know, now at a place where it's you know, certain that the GOP is going to be controlling the upper chamber for at least 2 years.
Yeah, you've covered politics now in D.C. for a while, and one of the things that I talked to somebody about with Mitch McConnell earlier in the day, for whatever you can say, no matter what your politics are, people that know the inner workings there on the Hill say, hey, one thing about McConnell, he is going to try to make this work. He's not going to be the dodo brain that says, we're blocking everything. We're just coming out of the gate blocking everything. And we learned that from William McDonald from TRN that on Friday, the president called to meet congressional leaders. So I think there's at least initially going to be the stepping off point of let's try to make this work. What do you think, Justin? What does your gut tell you?
You know, we're certainly seeing that kind of tone coming from both parties right now. As you mentioned, of course, the president invited both, you know, congressional leaders to the White House. We also had a statement from Harry Reid that was released, you know, just a little while ago, wherein he's saying that the main lesson from tonight's election is that the American people want to see lawmakers working together. They want to see bipartisan action. And tonight during Mitch McConnell's, you know, acceptance speech, he gave a similar conciliatory tone, saying that, you know, there's no reason why both parties have to be so, you know, zealously opposed to each other. So we're having a lot of lip service, but in terms of what we're actually going to see reality-wise, I think it's probably going to be shift back to more of the same, particularly because, you know, we have some pretty pretty big things coming up that are, you know, going to be playing with people's emotions. We have the executive branch poised to move forward with executive action on immigration reform. Mm-hmm. We have known for quite some time now that they were going to be, you know, doing that in the lame duck session. And we also have the lingering issue of the attorney general who still needs to be appointed. There's quite a bit of discussion that's probably going to be Perez, the current Secretary of Labor, and that's somebody who a lot of Republicans don't particularly like, considering he's been sort of an extreme vocal opponent of the voter ID issues. So I think right off the bat there are some pretty big issues that I don't necessarily see the two parties you know, playing kumbaya over.
Right. So in the beginning, make nice, but then they're going to go like a boxing match because of the things that you just mentioned, and executive actions already have people hysterical over how many and what's happening, and especially immigration is a sticky one. So we'll see where that ends up. It could be like they're back again, a boxing match. They're in separate corners, and you're going to be there covering it all, Justin.
I can't wait.
So did you at least get some good grub when you were running around Kentucky?
You know, I didn't. We went to a White Castle afterwards. you know, I spotted a White Castle. I never see a White Castle, you know, anywhere. So I demanded that we pull the car over and load up on sliders. So that was the extent of the good grub that I've had while in Kentucky.
All right. I love it. Justin Duckham, thanks so much.
Thank you. You have a good night.
You too. Hey, you know, talking about White Castles, that was the White Castles was when I went to school in Ohio. That was the food of choice when you had been, let's say, out partaking at the bars in Ohio State, because that was the big deal. Everybody went to White Castle. Now you can get them in most grocery stores, I think. All right, so the big thing is the Republicans' control of the Senate. They pick up a seat in North Carolina. Justin mentioned that. And five other seats. Very, very big. And I know we have a lot of listeners in Iowa. Joni Ernst getting that position. The Republican seizing the day in Iowa. And a woman representative, senator from there. Very big, big, big news. And needless to say, she was gracious and excited when it happened, because people looking at this race thought it was going to be a pretty tight one. That was one of the races that was seemingly up in the air, but it certainly didn't feel like it in the end. I mean, Iowa, Colorado, North Carolina, Montana, South Dakota, West Virginia, Arkansas, all of that Republicans controlling now the other chamber, and the runoff, as I mentioned, coming in Louisiana December 6th. So we'll see what happens with that seat. But regardless, numbers-wise, it doesn't matter because the Republicans take control. They needed 51, and they got what they needed. They're at 52. A lot of celebrating. Rens Priebus, the chairman of the Republican Party, I think feels vindicated. You'll hear what he had to say a little bit later on this show. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, who has controlled the chamber since 2007, congratulated the Republicans on their win and said that the message from the voters is clear. They want us to work together, and I look forward to working with Senator McConnell to get things done for the middle class. So now you wonder, and this is what I talked about a ton on the shows leading up to this, is this a referendum on the president? Is this because of, you know, Obamacare and the frustrations over that and other policies? Or was it about the people who were running? I think depending on the state, I'd say it's a little bit of both. And the frustration was clear. And in the exit polls, that's what you could see. In the exit polls, the people who were asked talked about the frustration with the logjam in D.C. So if you had a Democrat, who was kind of on the cut line, you know, they just absolutely were not going to make it. And how about this? Tim Scott in South Carolina, Tim Scott became the first, because there's a little slices of history, of course, always. Tim Scott became the first African-American senator to win election in South Carolina since, they say, going back to Reconstruction. I didn't even realize that because when I was looking at the races, I didn't think of that as one of the themes, but that's exactly what happened there. He outlasted the Democratic challenger, Joyce Dickerson, and the election was only to fill the last 2 years of DeMint's term, so he'll have to run again in 2016 in order to earn the full six-year term. Scott's win, again, made him the first black man in U.S. history to be elected to both the House and the Senate. How about that? So Rens Priebus, the National Committee Chairman for the Republicans, tweeted congrats to Scott on Tuesday night, noting that historic victory. Hang with us. We're going to New Hampshire next here on America Tonight.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Headlines, suspensions, FCC investigations. That's Mancow for you. Here at GCN.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-297-0154. That's 800-297-0154.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
That's 800-297-0154.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, and election coverage. We're talking about what happened. You can throw in your 2 cents, a tsunami of Republican votes, switch up the Senate, now fully Republican with the 52. They just needed 51. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. New Hampshire, we were really eyeballing this state, the Granite State. Jeanine Shaheen beating Scott Brown, so that's Democrat friends over the Republican, but now there's like all these cries for a recount, and there's some other things happening in New Hampshire. One of our favorites from TRN, Luke Vargas, joins us. Hey, Luke.
Hey, good evening.
So tell me about the, is there really thoughts of a recount, or what's the deal?
Just to fill you in, I'm actually in Boston, where there's an even closer race going on, if you could believe it. From what I've heard from one of our correspondents who is up in New Hampshire right now, the Scott Brown, Gene Shaheen race seems pretty, you know, shut and closed. Basically Scott Brown conceded. Gene Shaheen gave her victory speech. We have a slightly different, sort of outcome here. What we've heard is in the last few minutes, that Martha Coakley is not going to concede the Massachusetts governor's race tonight. This despite trailing in the polls currently, the last I saw, by about 25,000 votes. It's worth pointing out that according to Massachusetts law, if that margin is 12,000 votes or lower, it triggers an automatic recount. But we are at this point about double that margin, so it's unclear exactly why she's holding off on conceding at this point. A number of the towns that I've seen that are still reporting are you know, in no way looking to add to, you know, her totals. They're going to build up the lead for the Republican Charlie Baker here. So but we've been told that he is going to speak tonight, whether or not he receives a concession call from Martha Coakley, and that's what we're waiting for here in Boston right now.
Wow. And there, you know, there's been problems with Coakley in the first place, right? And heading into this, there was a lot of attacks on Coakley, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, that nickname, Martha Coakley, is being, you know, used quite a lot here. Maybe it's the booze, but it does seem to be sort of catchy. And look, I was watching this race from pretty early on. There were a number of candidates, you know, Steve Grossman, a former head of the DNC, was a possible candidate. Maybe he wasn't more electrifying than Martha Coakley, but he, you know, he didn't have that old baggage. It's sort of an odd choice, I guess. He was the next in line to run for this office, but it, you know, you wonder exactly whether or not he was the wisest choice when so many people thought this could come down to the wire. You know, it's worth pointing out, it's not necessarily a great year for what you could call liberal causes across Massachusetts. I'm looking at the four ballot measures in this state, too. Voters have overturned a measure that pegged the gas tax in this state to the rate of inflation. It was essentially, hey, you don't need to pass a tax bill every year. Let's make it simple. Let's adjust accordingly. Voters overturned that by a narrow margin. They've also rejected an expansion of a recycling law, and they have rejected a bid to try and shut down the expansion of casino gambling here, basically giving this go-ahead to casinos. So a lot of people in this state, at least sort of on the left, are saying Massachusetts voters were bought. Big money came in and helped sway two ballot measures, and may well have done so in the governor's race as well.
Wow, that is very, very big news. All right, Luke Vargas, thanks for checking in from Boston.
You bet. Have a great night.
You too. And, you know, elsewhere, as I mentioned this before, but it's worth saying because it's a big storyline, and Joni Ernst winning in Iowa was actually officially when the Republican Senate control, you know, when the Senate went the way of the Republicans, because at that point then there was enough. You also have the GOP's Tom Cotton, who ousted the incumbent senator. This was a tight one, too. Mark Pryor in Arkansas. So that's another one of the moves there. You had Republican Mike Rounds, who won the South Dakota Senate seat. That was a very, very big win. You also had Capito, who took West Virginia, that Senate seat, because there were some concerns there as to what would happen. The Republican Cory Gardner won the Senate seat in Colorado. That was another very, very big one. And I think one of the other huge storylines will be what happens in December in Louisiana. I know we have listeners in Louisiana, and Mary Landrieu may not be the senator there for very long, but that depends on what happens on December 6th. And she tried really desperately to distance herself from a couple of the Obama policies, including health care, but also anything to do with energy and drilling. Was very costly for Landrieu, a third-term incumbent. Now, the face-off, this runoff, could, you know, still mean that she's in office. The challenger, the Republican, Bill Cassidy, actually had a little bit of an edge in the count, not enough to declare the winner, so that's why December 6th you get the runoff. And it's interesting because neither one had 50% of the vote, so Landrieu is the only Democrat in Louisiana that is holding an elected office right now, and this was part of the problem to her pathway to being reelected, plus the idea of what's happening with Obamacare and how the people in Louisiana are reacting to that. Cassidy, by the way, is a doctor, so he was really pushing the Obamacare thing because it's very unpopular in that state, the Affordable Care Act, etc. So Landrieu's victory 6 years ago, which was helped by a strong black voter turnout in a presidential year, did not help her this time around. And December 6th, they're going to have to push hard. There's going to be more campaigning. There's going to be more ads, I think, poured across the tube, and we'll see if she survives it or Cassidy ends up taking over that seat. Joni Ernst, more about Joni Ernst, because this is such a significant story. She has an interesting background, well-liked, was well-liked on the campaign trail, and she defeated the Democrat, Bruce Braley. Interesting because she was a military vet, and people liked that about her, liked her kind of earnest, warm style when she was out talking to people. And she was, I think, incredibly popular the way she went from, you know, place to place, from dinner to dinner, from breakfast to breakfast. Not that the challenger didn't do it, but it seemed like every time you turned around, she was somewhere, and she was somewhere talking to people on the street, talking at any of these, some of these meetings, some of these town hall type settings, I'll call them, because they weren't necessarily town halls that were set up. So Republicans have seized control of the Senate for the first time in 8 years, really riding this tsunami of discontent by voters, and the grip on the House is there. So they've got both chambers. It's absolutely a new day and a new complication for the president's final 2 years in office. So we have the scenario that we thought we were going to have. Absolutely. You have a Democratic president and you have both chambers, majority Republicans. How's that all going to work out? There's going to be, I'm sure, on Friday, I met with congressional leaders, and there is a push to embrace the spirit of cooperation and all that kind of stuff until it gets tough. North Carolina was a wild one. North Carolina, Republican Tom Tillis defeating Democratic incumbent Kay Hagan with 98% of the vote. He had a 50,000 vote advantage to give him what he needed. And this was a dirty, nasty campaign across the board. And she had a lot of money pumped into her from people with deep pockets on the Democratic side, let's say PACs, et cetera, that were started for. There was big interest in what was going on in North Carolina and what was going to happen with Kay Hagan, but it didn't work. And really, a lot of the early projections had Hagan narrowly winning this when it was talked about heading into Election Day, and that was not at all the outcome. Instead, it's Tom Tillis who ends up winning that seat, taking it away from the Democratic incumbent. How about that? I mean, that is a drubbing, because that was not expected by the Democrats. Of everything that was out there that was on the board, they did not expect to lose that. So the election is the largest net swing of Senate seats toward Republicans. This is crazy. It's not crazy, but the numbers, the history, the nuggets that I'm going to keep throwing out, that I'm finding out, it's the largest net swing of Senate seats toward Republicans since the Reagan landslide in 1980. In 1980. So much for Joe Biden's prediction that the Democrats were going to prevail, because no, that was not the way it was laid out. It looked all the way along, I think, that the Republicans were going to win. And then the gubernatorial side, wins in key states like Wisconsin, so Scott Walker there, Georgia and Florida, that was big, and that would have some interesting repercussions for the 2016 presidential race when you look at it through that lens. And remember, in Florida, you had a lot of bitterness between Rick Scott and Charlie Crist, who was the governor at one point. But Rick Scott prevails in Florida. Of all the gubernatorial races, that might have been the hottest one, I think, besides Scott Walker in Wisconsin. Stay with us.
receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason! Going once, twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait, no!
Interact with the hosts you're listening to right now online at GCNLive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNLive.com.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com. Click the blue microphone in the top right corner and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in 4 delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, 6 vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day, take them camping, or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
Whoa, you know, you know, you know, you know, you must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a beautiful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet you drove those other child wild. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, when it came to winning Blue Ribbon. Well, I bet you taught the other kids how. Well, I can see the judge's eyes as they handed you the prize. I bet you took the cutest bow. Yeah, you must have been a beautiful baby. Cause baby, won't you look at you now?
All right, we're rounding that final turn for this hour of America Tonight, talking about election results. If you want to call in and weigh in, anyone surprised at what's happened with the Republicans? We're at 52. We have a runoff. We still don't know what's happening in Alaska. The runoff is in Louisiana, as I've mentioned now a couple of different times. Mary Landrieu, the incumbent, does she stay after, you know, 3 terms, or is she out? And is the Republican Cassidy in instead? We won't know until next month. One thing we do know is there's going to be a big change in the wind on the Hill, because you've got now a Republican majority in the House and in the Senate. Here's the big question, folks. Do you think more will be accomplished? What do you think the big change is that will hit D.C. with the Republicans in control, because of the voting numbers, they have control of both chambers? So will we see the same old? Will we see something different happen? You know, you got 2 years of a Democratic president. And then this is interesting. When we get to 2016, does this hurt Hillary Clinton? So if you're Hillary Clinton, do you have Obama, who was wildly popular when he first was elected, 2008, takes office 2009, does Hillary Clinton's campaign back off Obama a little bit, or no, just embrace, you know, the president, take his endorsement and whatnot, and I'm assuming she's running, and I'm assuming she gets, by the way, the nomination. I cannot imagine that she wouldn't, so we'll just go with that. Let's just play the if game. If it's, you know, if that's the case and you're running Clinton's campaign, would you really want the president, if his popularity is sagging so much and he can't get the Democrats excited? But, you know, maybe it's a different thing when he's at the tail end of his office and she's out there and, I don't know, the crowd's maybe excited about Hillary Clinton. Is that not the case at all? Is it different than what we've seen in these midterm elections? Now, we knew this was happening because of the dissatisfaction of several things that have been blunders, I think, by the administration, and they're just highlighted. And the immigration deal, which has forever and a day not been decided on and tossed around all over the place, really is out there blowing in the balance. And when we saw what happened along the border towns with the kids from Central America, then Joe Biden going down to Central America and saying, oh, please don't just come here thinking that you're just going to find a spot in the United States, is only for a small segment, it was supposed to be, of the population joining families, but then it turned out to open the floodgates, and then that didn't really work, and finally it started to slow down, but it created a lot of anxiety and a lot of problems along the border. And I think in especially those border states, they didn't forget that. And immigration will be back and in the forefront again, just like the Keystone Pipeline. That's going to come up again before the tail end of the Obama administration. Also, what's going to come up is ISIS, and where are we when it comes to Iraq and Syria and then the tail end of Afghanistan. But just taking the ISIS situation, are we going to end up having boots on the ground, even though we keep being told we're not? That's going to be a Hillary Clinton problem if this drags out with the airstrikes until the tail end of the Obama presidency. So there are a couple of things that are being played out that could also have massive implications for the Democrat running in 2016. How a few things are handled: immigration, the situation in the Middle East would be another one of them. And then other domestic problems, whether it's what are the unemployment numbers, what's going on with Social Security. Hey, how about affordable health care? Now that'll be deeper into its implementation. How are people going to feel about that 2 years from now? Because it's going to start to affect some other people. And there's some things that the Democrat running will absolutely have to decide and deal with. And some of this is part of what we're seeing with these election results, because you're going to have that majority in the Senate. It's going to make a big difference because there's no Harry Reid to be the blockade as the majority guy in the Senate. Instead, you're going to have Mitch McConnell, the Republican, who's going to be there as the gatekeeper. And that is a powerful position, a swaying position, if you will. So that victory in Kentucky was more than about Kentucky and will have a lot of rippling effects from D.C. across the U.S. because that is a key spot. Just like the Speaker of the House. And now you've got different agendas that will be on display in D.C. Different agendas. You know, his campaign slogan, McConnell's campaign slogan, was Obama needs Grimes, Kentucky needs Mitch McConnell. And there were a lot of people who ran and won. They ran on more of a referendum against what's happening in the Obama administration, more than even their opponent. So how about that? But once you win, you move on, and then the reality sets in, and then we see. In Montana, Congressman Steve Daines defeated Democrat Amanda Curtis. Curtis was pretty late to the game after the Democratic Senator John Walsh dropped out in July because of the New York Times report alleging that he had plagiarized large portions of a research paper that was submitted to the Army War College in 2007. And that was it. Run for cover. In Colorado, Republican Representative Cory Gardner defeated first-term Democratic Senator Mark Udall. Gardner's victory means that he's going to be probably a pretty big person to contend with in the Republican Party. I mean, he outraised his opponent in the last couple of weeks. He tripled the incumbent's cash. And Udall didn't have much to play with there because he was pummeling him in the money department, which is so key when you run. You have to be able to raise funds. You have to be able to do it. It's interesting with the North Carolina situation. I mentioned this already, but this is the big storyline. Kay Hagan, the narrow lead over Tillis in the last couple of days. But that all turned around and went in a much different direction. I think that might have been one of the more shocking losses for the Democrats, probably one of the biggest blows. They were not expecting that to happen. I think even if it was going to be close, they expected Hagan to win that seat, to be back in there and not to lose it, especially with all the money that had been pumped in. And, you know, Joni Ernst in Iowa announced at 11:41 p.m. Eastern that she got a call from her opponent, Bruce Braley, congratulating her on the win. And she was excited. She, you know, she said, "We did it." And she grew up on an Iowa farm. And she said she would know how to cut pork in the nation's capital. So, and I loved her one line. You know, some of it's about the lines, right? She said, from the biscuit line at Hardee's to the United States Senate. And she said, thanks to all of you, we're heading to Washington and we're going to make them squeal. Oh my, oh my. Any thoughts on the show, you know you can always send them my way, americatonight.net. Thanks for listening.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.